Hey, good morning. Hey, listen, what an amazing day today is. This is about the resurrection, amen. Let's give God praise today. Yes, man, how amazing is God? So listen, this is what I want you to do. I just got a few minutes, and we're going to have a big service today, so I want you guys to hang in there. Just tell me you're going to hang in there. Say, I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging in there. Hey, listen, Easter's one day a year, and we're going to ride this thing till the wheels fall off today. So just hang in there. Just hang in there with me. We're going to open up in prayer, and if you got your guys' Bible, head on over to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. I'm going to teach you guys a story today about the resurrection and what it means and what it means to us. So, Father, we come into your presence today, Lord. Have your way in this house, God. Inhabit the praises of your people. You're welcomed here. Father, open up our eyes and our ears. Speak to us, because your servants, we are listening. Lord, we need to hear a word from you today. We got to hear a word from you today. And I'm praying that, Father, we leave different than we came in here. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hey, you know that song that we just got done singing, The Greatest Day in History, Death is Beaten. And you've rescued me. What an amazing song that is. To hear that phrase, that death is beaten. What a crazy concept. Think about that for a second. Death is beaten. We've had the wisest, the smartest, and most intelligent men try to figure out ways how to get around death. We've had the wealthiest men, Steve Jobs, try to put off the inevitable. But it doesn't matter your intelligence. It doesn't matter your money. It doesn't matter your strength. Check it out. Check this out. You guys can go to the gym every single day, eat your vegetables, and I'll tell you what, you're still going to be like the best-shaped corpse in the cemetery. It's going to happen. But let me ask you guys a question. Let's just say for a second that death could be beaten, and that was a reality. Now, I'm looking at you guys, and I know that when we say that, we're like, man, it's just such a big part of our life that it's so hard to believe a time that there would be no death. But that's what we celebrate today. And I want to take you guys over to a story in John chapter 11, and it's going to explain to what we're doing here today and why we're doing it. It's a little different from the traditional story about Jesus rising from the grave, but because of what he did, it impacts what happened here. And it's going to open up for us why Jesus, the resurrection, what this means to us. And it all starts with this family that was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. I don't know how many of you guys have heard of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Have you guys heard the story? And it was a family that was cool because with Jesus, you know how you guys got people you work with and then you got people that you hang out with, okay? You got your work friends and then you got the people you want to be with. Well, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were the people Jesus would want to hang out with. He did ministry with the disciples and I'm sure he wanted to hang out with them too. He loved them. He loves us all. But these were the people that we don't know that they did any ministry with Jesus. We don't know if they went on tour and spread the gospel like Jesus spread the gospel with the disciples. But this was like the people he hung out with after hours when he just wanted to kick it. This was his friends. This is who he wanted to hang out with. And Mary was the kind of girl, do you guys know anybody who doesn't work to live? They live to work. They don't work to live type of people. So you got two different type of people. You got people who work because they got to. And then you got people who love to work. This girl was the type who worked to live. And you remember the story where Jesus was hanging out with them and she was just at the feet of Jesus and her sister Martha was doing everything. And she's like, tell Miss Thing to get in here and help me. And Martha was like, tell her to get up and do something. And Martha is that type of personality who wants to get stuff done all the time. And she wasn't sitting at the foot of Jesus. And by the way, she was waiting on Jesus. And by the way, how many of you guys are thankful that we got Marthas in the world today? People who just, I mean, listen, it's nice to have that idea. Let's just sit at the foot of Jesus and be all spiritual. But we got to get stuff done too, amen? So thank God for the Marthas. Who'd be paying the bills, watching the babies, cleaning the house? Check this out. You can have a job and still love Jesus. You need to tell somebody that who just wants to sit at the foot of Jesus all the time. We got to get busy. And so now Jesus, their brother Lazarus, is sick. Apparently, he didn't get the flu shot this year, and it's pretty serious. None of you guys got the flu shot. Stay away from me. Stay away from me. I love you, but we're going to have that holy space. And so Lazarus is messed up. Now check it out. This is what happens. This is a resurrection. This is the last greatest miracle Jesus did in the scriptures. And this is what it says in verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed Jesus with fragrant oil, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And therefore the sisters sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, in whom you love is sick. Now, I like that because they said, Lord, the one you love is sick, not the one who loves you. Because how many of you guys know your love for Jesus can kind of go up and down sometimes? Be honest with me. If it's going good, the love is good. If it's not going so good, then we got some issues. But the love of the Lord is constant, steady, and ever present. And she says, the one you love is sick. Now, they didn't know what to do, but they knew where to go to. And I want to tell you guys, if you got somebody you love who's sick and you may not know what to do, let me tell you who you can go to: Jesus. And it doesn't always got to be physical. We've got people that we love that are dealing with depression. They're thinking about suicide. They got insecurities. They got issues that they're dealing with and they're not well. They're sick. And you may not know how to help them. Is there anybody like that in your life? And you know I'm doing everything I can, but I can only go so far. Let me tell you about it. You may not know what to do, but you know who to get to. And the sisters go to Jesus, and they tell him, and this is what's interesting to me, they said that in verse 4, when Jesus heard this, he said that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, you know what's interesting about that? Is he's already dead. And Jesus is like, it's not going to end in death. And that kind of bothered me because I'm like, don't you know? But here's the deal about that. Jesus doesn't look at the circumstances. He looks at the outcome. Amen? Amen. It might be rough for a time. There might be a season of difficulty, struggle, and strife. But I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't look at the situation. He looks at the outcome, and he calls it from the beginning, from the end. He knows it all. And he says to him, he says, this is not going to end in death. And we've got a problem because when we see stuff, we look at it and we're like, no way, no chance, no how. We want to believe. But sometimes our belief gets rocked. Am I speaking to anybody? And Jesus doesn't look at the circumstances. He looks at the outcome. And so this is where it gets really weird. I don't know if you guys have ever prayed to God and you've never gotten an answer. You've just poured out to the Lord and you're going through something in your life and you're like, listen, I need to hear from you today. No answer comes. Everything stays the same. Nothing gets better. And you're like, man, are you hearing me? This is what's going to happen to these sisters. And remember, Jesus loves them. It says in verse 5, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he had heard that he was sick, Jesus called Uber and got there right away. That's my translation. No, it says he stayed 2 more days in the place he was. And then after this, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea once again. So that's not everybody's favorite verse in the Bible, is it? Like, if you're going to memorize verses, that's probably not one you got on your refrigerator. I poured out to Jesus, and he didn't show up. You know, I've got a rock that I sit out by my house, and I've been sitting out there for 4 years. It's down by the beach. And when I go to that rock, I wish I could tell you that was a place that I go rejoicing. But that's a place I go questioning. Year after year, I sit on this rock. God, what are you doing? God, when are you going to confirm the word in me? Lord, when are you going to make this happen? You know, and it kind of interests me how people say they're struggling with something and it's been like 2 days. And I'm like, man, I've been struggling with stuff for years. Anybody else? I've been going through something for a long time, not just like a couple days. I'm going through a lot of stuff, Lord, and I'm lifting up my voice and I'm hearing no answer. And it says, here's the interesting thing about it though. It says that he loved them. That's why he waited. So when I ask you, why did he wait? You tell me, So when he doesn't show up, he what? Okay, now here's the problem. We're so focused on what God is not doing, we miss why he's not doing it. The reason why he's not doing it and the reason why he's not showing up, it's not because his delays are his denials, but it's because he loves you, he knows what's best for you, and he's working something out in this. And I would love to say he's going to show up when I want, when how I want. But God's all about a perfecting love, not a pampering one. And I'll tell you, I like to get pampered. Vicky needs to step her game up. She's teaching the kids, it's okay. But I like that pampering love. But God's more about the perfecting love. He's working some stuff out. He's working stuff out. And you know what? He never promised us to shelter us, me, you, any of us from suffering or pain. In fact, God the Father loved Jesus Christ so much that he allowed him to drink the cup of suffering and trial and temptation. And it was all because why? God the Father loved him. He had a big plan. So the delay wasn't a denial. There's a bigger picture that's going on in your life today. There's a bigger picture going on in my life. When we pour out, we're like, God, where are you? He's like, I love you, and that's why I'm not showing up when you want me to, because if I showed up now, things would be different later. So it's always better to wait on the Lord because he knows. Isn't his timing good? And we've seen it. Sometimes we got to look back on these things to see the bigger picture of it, but they're crying out to the Lord, and he doesn't show up. And so it says in verse 8, it says, the disciples said to him, so now the disciples are going to be like, okay, we need to go back. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews, check this out, have sought to stone you, and you're going back to Judea again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after he said them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go to him that I may wake him. Now check this out. This is what they say. I love the disciples. The disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he's going to get well. However, Jesus was speaking of his death, but they thought he was speaking about rest and sleep. Do you ever feel like Jesus is speaking and you're like, what? You don't always get it, and it's kind of like you got to think about it for a little bit. He says, he's sleeping. He's sleeping. And the disciples are like, well, let's just go and wake him up. I mean, or let him sleep. Let this boy have some peace. He'll get better. He just needs some rest. Now, listen, I'm going to ask you guys something. Do you know anybody who takes naps, and if you mess with them, they get ornery? You're like married to him, right? I'll tell you what, Vicky, and sometimes, to be honest with you, there's a little nastiness in me where I like to deliberately mess with my wife. And she'll be crashed out, and I'll go and kind of shake the bed a little bit. And my wife, have you guys ever seen The Exorcist? She'll sit up like stiff as a board, boing! And her head turns and this stuff comes out. She's like, I'm telling you, I'll swing. My wife goes, gangster, you don't touch this girl. I'm not in the mood. I don't know what's going on. Don't leave me alone. And then she goes right back to bed. She freaks out like nuts. Like, I'm scared. I'm running. And she can just go right back to bed like it wasn't no thing. She's just like sleeping, like, get out of here. They're like, Lord, let this boy sleep. It's all good. But Jesus was talking about not sleeping, but his death. Why didn't Jesus just say, hey, he's dead? Here's why. Because when it comes to death, the Lord knows the difference. He just doesn't see a difference between death and sleep. You know, I heard this kid, and he was asking his dad, this young boy, and he said, Dad, what's it like to die? That's a pretty heavy question from a kid. And the dad said, you know how we go for a ride and you're in the back seat and the road's kind of rough, it gets bumpy and you get tired and crashed out. And then when we get to the house, I pick you up and I take you in and you wake up and you're at home. He said, that's what it's like. And that's what God wants us to get. Death is like that. This road, this life is bumpy, rough, and tough. And one of these days, if God tarries, you're going to crash out. But the way that it works is just like that father picking up his son in the back seat. He went to sleep, and the next thing you know, he woke up in the presence of his own house. Is that not amazing? God is going to pick us up and take us home, and there's going to be one day. Let's go ahead and praise God for that. Listen, and this is so cool. There's going to be one day where we wake up and boom, we're in the presence of the Holy Father, because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And it's just like that. So, hey, let me tell you guys something. Rest during the ride. Rest. God is good. He's got us. And so he tells him, listen, I'm going to tell you guys straight up, dummies, he's asleep. He didn't call them dummies. I would have, but he didn't. God's good like that. So it says then, he's like, man, you guys aren't getting it. Check out verse 14. I wouldn't have called them dummies. Some of you guys don't know me. You're like, this pastor is so horrible. Listen, this is what he says in verse 14. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is just straight up dead. And I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. So check out Thomas. Then Thomas, yay. Hey, let's give it up for Thomas really quick. I got to show you something. Let's give it up for Thomas. I'm going to show you something about Thomas, because it's got to do with you. And it says, then Thomas, who's called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go that we may all die with him. Talk about Mr. Encouragement, right? He's looking at it how we look at stuff. He's realistic. There's trouble there. But you know what about Thomas that I love? Is that this boy messed up one time, all we know, and what do we call him? Right? Doubting Thomas. Could you guys imagine being labeled by one mistake that you guys made your whole life? Pornography Paul, right? Or cheating on your taxes Teresa, or high Harold. And if your name is Teresa, Paul, or Harold, my bad. But listen, could you imagine your whole life being labeled by one mistake? And here Thomas is like, let's do this. I'm ready to ride this thing till the wheels fall off. He's devoted. You know what? I think he would say, you know what? Shut up calling me Doubting Thomas. You need to start calling me Devoted Thomas. How about that instead of Doubting Thomas? And here's why. Because this boy's identity is not in what he did, but in who he knew. And that's for every one of us here today. People try to label us and tell us things that we used to do and how we used to do them and all of that. Hey, you know what? My identity is not in what I did. It's in who I know. And so he may not have been perfect, but I'll tell you what. Let's give him a little space. This boy was like, we're ready to lay it all down for you, Jesus. And so now this is the part of the story, as we're getting ready to close this out, that things get really tense. So these two sisters have a brother who had been sick to death. And it's been a rough, hard few weeks. And these girls have got some questions, because they know Jesus. They saw his miracles. They know what he's capable of. And yet he didn't do it. And there's no kind of hurt like a woman who hurts. Because things can get rough. And like Ricky Ricardo said, you got some splaining to do, Jesus. Here's that tense moment where Jesus is going to come in and have that interaction with the sisters. Where were you? Talk about a difficult conversation. Man, if I was Jesus, I might have went around the block a few more times. So this is what happened. Martha, when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days, and now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had heard that the women around Martha and Mary, they were around Martha and Mary, and they were there to comfort them concerning their brother. And now Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So when we see Martha get up, there's a cultural thing happening, because you didn't get up and come unless you were called. Did you see Mary? She did what? Stayed at home. Martha is like, forget this. I got some questions. Like, this whole thing went down wrong. And I'm not just going to sit back here with Miss Mary. She can do the right thing. But as far as for me, I'm getting up and I'm going out and I got some questions. Where were you? She says, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. If you had been here. Martha gets to Jesus and she's having a what if moment. If you had been here, you wouldn't have died. If you would have been here, you wouldn't have been sick. If you would have been here and done something, this wouldn't have happened. Have you guys ever, raise your hand if you've ever had a what if moment. An if moment with God. If you had been here and done something, it would have been different. If you loved me, I wouldn't be raising my kids by myself. If you loved me, Lord, you would have cared and life wouldn't be this hard. Lord, just if you had done something sooner, it wouldn't have gone down like this. We've all had those questions with the Lord. If. And Mary, she's still trying to hold on to faith because like you and like me, when we have if you had been, if you would have, we're still saved and we love Jesus, right? But sometimes it gets hard because our faith gets challenged. And so she's in that place. And now she's going to try to step out with any little faith that she has. But it's been a tough week. She's seen a lot. And a lot has not happened like it should have happened in her eyes. And so she comes to Jesus with the little faith that she does have, because it's been a rough week. She says, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She's looking to the future. Someday we're all going to, and we all have that mentality, a someday mentality. Someday God's going to come through. Someday it'll get all worked out, but not today. Physically, this girl has gone through it this week because she's been taking care of her brother. Mentally, she's going, if you've ever had to take some care of somebody who's sick, it's physical, it's mental, it's spiritual. It gets spiritual because you're like, man, God, this is messing up my theology. And he goes, listen, he's going to rise. And she's like, yeah, I know, but she's in the middle, right? She's in the middle. What's she in the middle of? Her brother just died, couldn't do anything about it. And then she's in the middle of someday this is going to get worked out and God's going to do something, but until the meantime, I'm in the middle. And I'll bet you there's somebody here today who's in the middle of what is something that has happened and God has yet to do something about it. And you're in that place, and you're in that place in the middle. Just like with Martha, she's there. And she's with Jesus and she's talking to him about these things that have happened. She can't change what's happened. And she doesn't know exactly what's going to happen. Have you been in the middle before if you're not there? Man, some of our kids make bad choices and suffering consequences. And we're like, man, I can't go back and change that. But I don't know what's going to happen with them either. I'm in the middle. Your income turned out to be an outcome. And something happened and you weren't expecting it. And you can't go back. What are you going to do? You're going to go back, do what? Nothing. That's what you do. You can't change it. And you don't know what it's going to be like in the future either. Some of us take careers that we think are going to be a dream job. Turns out to be a nightmare and we're stuck in the middle. What do we do? You know what? It said she was with Jesus in the middle. And although you might be in that middle, and sometimes I get in that middle, I'm going to tell you something. It's better to be in the middle with Jesus than on your own without him. You're not going to make it without him. And she's there, and she's got real questions, but she's in the middle, and so she's focusing. She's focusing on the past. She's focusing on the future. And listen, that's the problem with a lot of us in the middle. Some of us look at the past and we're like, man, I wish I could have done it different. I wish this wouldn't have happened this way. I wish I could change it. I wish this wouldn't have happened. And then they never grow forward from something that happened to them years ago. I see it all the time. People stuck in the past and it messes up their present and they can't get through it. And then there's other people who are like, yeah, just someday, I'm just going to keep my head down, and I know God's going to come through, maybe. someday, somehow, some way, and then they don't do anything. And God says, he steps up and he says, listen, I'm in the middle. I'm a present help in time of need. And so when she's talking to him, she's getting all theological. He's trying to get relational with her. And he's like, I am the resurrection. Check out verse 25. He said to her, I am the resurrection. Now, this is where we're going to be working our way down to closing. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives, believes in me, shall never die. Do you believe this? It's almost like Jesus is asking you straight up, do you believe that? He says to her, do you believe it? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's come into the world. And so she has a someday mentality, but not a today mentality. And it says in verse 28, when she had said these things, she went her way, secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling you. And as soon as she heard that, Mary got up quickly and went to Jesus. And now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And the Jews were there in the house comforting her. And when they saw Mary rose up quickly and went out, they went following her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. And then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet and said to him, Lord, this sounds familiar. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Isn't that something that her sister just got done saying? You see, they lived together. They watched Netflix together. They ate at Izzy's together. They were hanging out all the time. And so, being that they hung out all the time, she was a lot like her sister in a lot of ways. And that's a reminder to us. Whoever you hang out around you is going to have the biggest influence on you. So who are you hanging out with? I want to hang out with people that, man, they love their wives. They treat their wives good. I want to hang out with people who love the Word of God, who want to study the Word of God. I want to hang out with people that want to go to church. I want to hang out with people who love the Lord. I want to hang out with people who I know are the real deal, in and out of secret, amen? You don't want to be hanging out with anything less than that. You got to be careful who you hang out with, because it's going to influence you. And so she says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Listen, she was expecting for him to heal the flu. And Jesus was expecting to do a resurrection from the dead. Let me tell you guys something. If you're just looking for God to meet your expectations, how do you expect him to exceed them? God wants to do exceedingly and abundantly more in our life. And she's like, look, I'm looking for a healing. He's like, look, I'm going to do something greater than that in your life, and you're going to see it, and you're going to be amazed. So now after he tells her, she's talking to him, and they're having this discussion. Look at verse 33. Therefore, then Jesus, when he saw her weeping, and the Jews came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit, and he was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And in verse 35, it says, Jesus wept. And by the way, that's the shortest verse in the Bible. So if you guys want to look holy and righteous, and you start quoting scripture to your friends, do it memory, do it like chapter and verse. Try it. Just have a conversation. It doesn't even have to make sense. Go out to lunch with your friends and just throw it out there. Yeah, John chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus wept. And they're going to be like, yeah, you're so awesome. Start there. Shortest little verse, Jesus wept. Why? I mean, he knows what's going to happen. Doesn't he know? Jesus knows, right? He knows he's going to resurrect this boy from the dead. But here's why. Because it was the consequences of sin that was really upsetting to Jesus. And although God can heal sin, and God can restore us from sin, and God will forgive us for sin and give us mercy from sin, guess what? There's consequences for sin. And death is a consequence. I've seen so many marriages die. I've seen so many families dead because of sin. And when Jesus looks at it, he's like, man, this is busting me up. I can't stand this, because there's a better life. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's more than this. But death is a consequence to sin. And so when we sin, it still hurts him. And so he says, let's close this out. In verse 37, worship team, come on up. We're going to close this out, because I'm excited about this last point. In verse 37, it says, "And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" So now they're placing the blame on Jesus for Lazarus' death. And we do the same thing too, right? And so, couldn't he have done something? I mean, he is God, right? Or at least he claimed to be. That was the whole thing back in Judea the last time he was there, and that didn't go well on the polls. And so everybody wanted to kill him. And so couldn't he have done it? He opened the eyes of the blind, he healed the lame. Couldn't he have fixed this guy? And so it says in Jesus, again, groaning in himself, and man, I could just picture the Lord being like, "Oh, man, you guys are looking at this all wrong." Groaning in his spirit, plus his friend's dead. The sisters are going crazy. Then Jesus, again groaning himself, came to the tomb, and it was a cave and a stone that laid against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench, and he's been dead for 4 days. We don't even have Febreze or like those little Christmas trees. God, you don't want to open. How about this? You just let me leave that thing alone, and we'll be good." And you know what? That's a picture of us getting rid of stuff that's in the way of us and the Lord, and him taking care of some stuff inside of us. We've got pride. We've got excuses. We've got blame. And the Lord says, "I'm telling you, get rid of it." And you're like, "Lord, if I lay down all that stuff and we start dealing with the heart of my heart, it's going to stink. It's going to be ugly. And why don't we just leave that thing alone?" And the Lord's like, "No, listen, you move that away, and I'm going to do something in it." He yells out to him. He says, "Get the stone out the way. Move out the stone." And so now, in verse 40, he says, "Didn't I not tell you that if you would just believe, you would see the glory of God? Didn't we go over this? Didn't I talk to you about this? We just had a conversation back there. And now you're already full of hopelessness." And whenever you get filled up with hopelessness and you're discouraged and you're depressed, what did he say? He says, "Didn't I say?" Meaning, go back to the Word of God. Go back to what God has said. Go back to what God has promised. You guys want to fix that? That's how you go back. You go back. He says, "Didn't I say you were going to see the glory of God?" And then, verse 41, they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me." You know, did you know God hears you? Did you know that God listens to you? He says, "I thank you that you always hear me, Lord. You're always there, Father." And he says, "But because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me." Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And like that old country preacher said, the reason why he called him by name is because had he not, Jesus would have emptied out that whole gravesite. There's so much power. "Lazarus, come forth, come out of the grave." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes on his face, was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Now listen, we look at this story, and this is a picture of why we're here today. When she was talking to Jesus, Martha, she said to the Lord, she goes, "I know that one day, you know, that you're going to put death down and all this stuff is going to work out." And he looked at her and he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." This is what you got to understand happened right there. Is that the Jews knew textually. They have read about the resurrection. They heard about the resurrection. They believed in resurrection. But Jesus looked at her and he says, "I'm going to tell you something about the resurrection. It's not a principle, it's a person. And it's in me. and there's resurrection power in me, and there's strength in me, there's healing in me, there's forgiveness in me. I'm it. I'm everything that you need right now, today, in this place, wherever this place may be. I am the resurrection and the life. And so as we close this out this morning, I want to tell you guys this. It's the resurrection that makes today real. It's the empty tomb. It changes everything. And you're just going to have to square away with that. If you're here today and you haven't given your life to Christ and you don't believe in what you've just heard, I'm going to tell you something. That grave is empty. And it's been like that for 2,000 years. Because we have a risen Savior, not a dead one. Amen. Let's give God praise this morning. Hey, would you guys stand with me for a second? I want you guys to stand with me for a second. We're going to take communion. And we're going to close out with two worship songs. And I need you guys to hang out till the end of this service. But as we're getting ready to take communion, I want you guys just to bow your head with me. Because I believe that there's somebody who may have come in here a lot like Lazarus, bound up, head to foot, wrapped up, can't get out, can't shake it free, can't break from it. And the Lord wants to speak to you today that there's resurrection power, not in a principle, but in a person. And this is our opportunity to come to Him and receive that power. But you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to submit to God. You're going to have to give Him your life. And this is the time that you do it, where you make a commitment now and say, God, I'm not going back to the beginning. I may not know what tomorrow's going to bring, but here in the middle, I'm counting on You, Lord. I want You in my life. I need You, Jesus. And if that's you, I just want you to bow your head, and I'm going to pray with you right now. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to just confess our sins, because He's faithful and just to forgive us. He's not going to tear you down, push you away, or shame you. We all got stuff that stinks, and a lot of it is covered up. Nobody sees it. God does. Yet the good news of it is that the resurrection is real. And there's power in the resurrection. There's forgiveness in the resurrection. And so, Father, we come to You. We say, Father, forgive us of our sins, Lord. Forgive us of our transgressions, God, our iniquities. Lord, our wrong things that we've hidden in tombs, God, that we don't want to open up, that nobody may know, but You know. Father, forgive us of those things. Lord, we're coming to You today, and some of us are bound up and wrapped up, Father, and we can't break free. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe they're bound up in fear of provision. Maybe they're worried about where they're going when they leave this place. Today is a day of salvation. And like the road gets bumpy and rough, Lord, there's going to be a day where we crash out and we can just come into Your loving arms and be in the presence of You for eternity, Lord, as a good Father. So, Father, we ask right now, we accept Jesus Christ as our perfect Lord and Savior and our sacrifice. Apart from Him, we acknowledge there is no other name under heaven by that which a man can be saved. We give our life to You, Lord. We surrender to You today to receive Your resurrection power always. In Jesus' name, amen.